Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For the first time on home ice, your defending Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals! York Canton and the Conn Smythe winner!
Familiar. That is the music. They were playing inside Capital One Arena when they raised the banner to the roof, and it far exceeded even my wildest expectations for the night, and that was just the beginning of one of the most memorable nights in Caps franchise history as they blanked the Bruins by a final score of 7-0. This is our first Capitals Talk podcast of the new hockey season. I'm Rob Carlin with Alan May, who I have spent so much time with today talking about this team. I don't know what else there is to say, but after that performance, when Cousy had a goal, two goals, Backstrom had 3 assists, Oshie, Ovi, Carlson all had multi-point games. Holtby had a shutout and an assist. That was an absolutely perfect first night of the season.
Well, think of all the things we talked about today. We didn't even talk about the Boston Bruins or the hockey game against the Bruins. And then to have a night like we did on the ice, forget all the other stuff, the banner raising, Ovi skating around the cup. There's a hell of a hockey game played by the Capitals tonight. And you look at the speed, the pace, the tempo, offensively, defensively, the quality goaltending, the incredible goal-scoring performance, the show of skill tonight, the dominance of Kuznetsov and Backstrom and Ovi, and man, it just doesn't quit. What a night. Like, I did not expect them to kick ass and take names the way they did tonight, but they put it all out there, and it just keeps getting better and better. Started last April 1st, and man, we've been on a roll. We've been lucky. You and I have got to see some incredible moments with this hockey team. And tonight, just another incredible damn moment. It was amazing. It was heartwarming. It was just so emotional. And I was like, I don't want the day to end, but I'm pretty much done talking. I got to work tomorrow. I got no voice left.
But the banner raising, we'll get to the game in a second. The banner raising, when Ovi skated out with the cup, and then that banner, which to me is one of the most beautiful banners I've ever seen, like understated but amazing. And when it started to unfurl, and I was like, oh my God, that thing is incredible. And Ovi skated up and put that cup in front of it, like you're goddamn right we're the Stanley Cup champions. And then they all gathered for that picture. I literally was a little, I didn't cry, but I could understand why other people did, because I was filled with emotion.
Whoever planned the choreography for this thing tonight, I've never seen the captain of any team skate out at the Stanley Cup to start. I may have a faulty memory in that area. I've never seen...
I didn't remember that either. I'm glad you said that.
I have never remembered a banner being just the right size of too big. I loved it. And the way it looked, it's beautiful. Everything, the lip sync and the video montage of the player singing We Are the Champions... It was perfect. It was dead on. And the whole building, once again, everyone had that look of awe and utter sheer happiness like they did on Parade Day. And it was a carryover tonight. But that entire ceremony, whoever came up with all those ideas or the group of people, the creative collective group, it was perfect. And I wouldn't change a thing about anything that went on in Capital One Arena.
Yeah, and I know we have a partnership with the team, and I don't want to sound like we're like stroking them like this, but... It really was. I said this on TV, they handled everything last year perfectly. Because all of the watch parties, the viewing parties in the arena, outside, on the street, closing down all the streets, that was all organic.
Did an incredible job for someone who's never done anything like that
right.
before. Never got to plan a championship like
this. And planned
this.
It on the fly. Yeah. This was just all feeling the moment and then doing the right thing to capture that moment to allow the crowd to have the best time of their lives. And then with the time to plan, a lot of times when you have so much time to plan, you come, you're like, really? They screwed this up? How did he screw this up? They didn't. They caught every right emotion of the night. The We Are the Champions playing the entire song. That wasn't a clip. That was the whole song. The crowd singing along with it. I was literally like, this is unbelievable to be a part of.
It was celebratory perfection. Everything about it. The players gave their all for it as well. And I love to see the big man, Tom Wilson, on the ice because I was worried about it. The first thing I thought of when I saw the hit on Sunday.
I don't know who
signed
off on that, but that was great.
It don't matter who did. I hope he just did it on his own. I hope the team said, screw it, you're doing it, and get out there.
We'll pay whatever fine, it's fine.
It doesn't. You know what? There are no rules for that. That wasn't a game. That was a banner raising. So I just, everything they did, they hit, I'm not going to say home runs. They scored overtime goal after overtime goal tonight and everything they did. It was beautiful, spectacular. And congratulations to everyone involved and every single fan that witnessed it and us. And it was amazing to be a part of this. Once again, I wouldn't want to miss this for anything in the world. I wanted to work I wanted to work in June. I got to work right to the last day of June last year with all the different things that we did. And then to come back to this 118 days later, just overwhelming.
The morning skate, the game day skate, Oshie said, I don't want to put any expectations on it because I had some for the cup and it was better. And then I had some for the parade and it was better. And I had expectations for the ring ceremony with the team and it was better. He's like, so whatever I think is going to happen tonight, it's probably going to be better. And it was. And then Oshie goes out 24 seconds into the game and scores a goal.
Swept across one touch. Well, a tremendous start for the Washington Capitals.
And it was like, is this even real? Like, is this even happening? Then a minute 47 later.
And off the faceoff, they have scored. It's 2-0. Kuznetsov and the Wings are flying again, just as they did in OT in Pittsburgh.
Kuzi scores again, and I was like, I mean, this is too much. It's too much already. Like, enough. I can't keep up with this.
Well, I'm a guy that likes to go for the jugular, and I want the pedal to the metal all the time, and the players did it tonight. The coaching staff did it. They pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and they never laid off. There were no lulls in this team. We've seen lulls in the past, and you know, with this group of guys even, we've seen in games where they give up a period. There was nothing given tonight. They dominated from the opening bell. They went to the net. They back-checked like it was a Stanley Cup final game. And they went out to send a message to everyone. There's no hangover. You know, we still got to play a game against the Penguins. But as far as starting the season, they started it right.
Yeah, I never bought into the Stanley Cup hangover thing. There's too much talent on this team. And now that they've tasted it and they want it again, I never bought in. I wasn't expecting 7-0 on opening night. Let's just address the first two goals. And let's start with the Backstrom pass to Oshie. That cross ice feed from almost the blue line to the goal line, and then Oshie squeezing it on its side. That puck had to go in, and it did. I mean, that was world-class on the pass and the finish.
Well, you know, one of the things I feel really bad about is the last couple of days, you know, I haven't really talked about Backstrom. I mentioned his name, but he kicked ass and took names today, man. That puck was flying everywhere. Defensively perfect passes. The pass that he threw to open the outlet like that, the pace that he played at, and then to give TJ something he could belt home the way he did, he was precision tonight. And I love the fact that he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder, because Kuzi's the guy we're all talking about and the spectacular offensive prowess and play. But, you know, Nick just continues to go out and do his job like a true professional who's taken a lot on the chin over the years. And he came out tonight and sent another message to the rest of the National Hockey League, but most importantly to his teammates and coaching staff.
Yeah, that was the first of his three apples on the night. And then Kuzi, the guy that you've been saying for a couple of years now, could and should be amongst the league leaders in points. And this year, you and Locker went as far as to say in our pregame show, 40 goals, 60 assists, 100-point type season, challenging Connor McDavid for the points title this year. And then he jumps on a loose puck off a faceoff a minute 47 into the game, and that was a goal scorer mentality. Like, here's where the puck's going. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to score a goal. And you're like, oh, here we go. Kuzi's off and running.
Well, he tied the big man Ovi for shots on net tonight. There was actually three guys with five. Connolly was out there, had a solid game. But I think Kuzi's got the message that he's going to be held to a higher standard. And it's not assists aren't just good enough. You got to score goals as well. And we continue to talk about the Game 6 overtime goal in Pittsburgh, the breakaway beautiful goal, and he did the bird after that. Or what did we decide to call it? The pterodactyl, whatever it is.
The weagle, whatever you want. It is.
But he's got a responsibility to shoot the puck and score goals, and I love the way he started the season. I felt like he was kind of showing off at times, and I loved it. He did some cuts with the puck and the ragging it inside the line and curling and doing the no-look passes.
He had a drop pass to Connolly for a snapshot. That he faked the slap shot, dropped it back to Connolly for a snapshot. I was like, this kid, the skill level.
He's gone next level, and yeah. I've always believed that he had to do it every night and to show people. And I hope we get to see 82 games of that this year because he'll be right there with McDavid, maybe Sidney, maybe Evgeny Malkin. But the guys that should be at the top, he should be at the top with the guys.
And the crazy thing is they probably could have scored two or three more goals. I mean,
they should have had five in the first period.
Yeah, Rask made a couple of big saves.
And he got lucky
period.
On a couple that hit his stick up high, hit at the butt end of his stick, the long, skinny part. And you know what? If I were that guy, I would just tell the coaches, for me. I'll play back-to-back against anyone, but no caps. 1-11-5 now. What the hell are they thinking, putting him in that?
They wasn't in there long.
Yeah. Things change, but 1-11-5. And he's been victimized hard by this team. And Braden Holtby, on the other hand, says, can we play them 82 times?
Right. It's 11 straight wins for him, 13 straight wins for the Caps over the Bruins. So it's 2-0 after one. And then Ovi on the power play from Backstrom.
Ovechkin scores! Just so many options for this power play when they're able to enter the zone.
He's got 608 goals now. He ties Dino Cicerelli for 18th all-time with that goal. More than half are Backstrom feeds like that to Backstrom. It was exactly what we've seen for an entire generation.
Yeah, and only took a third of a shot, not even a full shot,
really
not a half shot.
That, right?
He took a third of a shot.
Right, and even the celebration was muted, like, did it again.
It's artistry. It's pure artistry by Nick, the way he moves that puck around. And then, you know, Ovi's able to contort his body to take any type of shot on either foot. It doesn't matter where the puck placement is. If he gets it, he's not going to slow down. This guy believes in himself. He's one of the most special players that's ever played this game, and he continues to thrill us and dazzle us, and he just turned, 33 the other day. He's not slowing down. I think he's getting better.
And we all think he's going to win his eighth Rocket Richard this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he scores 50 this year. Because why not? He's that guy. Why not?
The league has learned, the players have realized that it's okay to score goals, and it's okay to be offensive now, and it's harder to check. You know, the penalty standards supposedly are going to be held up again this year. But there's a lot of room if you play fast. That's the fastest I've seen the Caps play in the regular season in a long. That was a very fast hockey game with and without the puck. And everyone was in tune with what was going on. And for, you know, watching these horrible preseason games, not just the Caps, every team in the league, to put it all together the way they did in the first game that mattered, that was a beautiful thing to watch.
It was nice. We had Nick Dowd join us on Post Game Live on TV after he scored a goal.
Turnaround shot, score by Dowd!
You know, we asked him what it was like to be a part of it, and he's like, look, I wasn't here last year, but I've never been in an arena like this. And he just fed off of that. He steps in that fourth line role, replacing Jay Beagle, gets that big goal. It's so important to just let his teammates know that while I'm here and I'm working and you see me in practice every day, I can do things to help this team. And I thought that was very important for him, very important for that fourth line. Nathan Walker gets an assist. DSP had a rough preseason again. But I love the new kid gets in there and gets his name on the score sheet.
Very good. And, you know, you look at injuries and suspensions are opportunity in disguise for players, and they've got to make the most of it. I thought Dowd, Walker, DSP were very good. They were solid in every facet of the game. But to see him get out there, and, you know, everyone's talking about Jay Beagle. I'm never going to say a bad word about Jay Beagle, but he's not here. And Nick Dowd's got big shoes to fill, but you know what? He's got to fill his own, and he's got to make sure that he's playing the game the right way. He's got to win the admiration of his teammates. He's got to be consistent. And tonight was a great start. I loved him on the penalty kill. And I just like the simple things that he did all night. And he battled in the faceoff circle, went 4-4. Caps had a very tough night in the circle tonight. But Dowd's going to be a guy that scraps and claws for what he gets. Yep, he's going to be scrapping claw for everything that he gets. And I like what I see, and I like the fact that he came from the LA Kings and the coaches that they've had there over the years. He's got a good pedigree that way and how to play the game in the opinion of me, properly.
And his ability in the faceoff circle is one of the things that attracted him. I mean, they need a guy. You lose Jay Beagle in the, whatever, was he 56% in the faceoff circle last year? You need a guy who's going to be a good faceoff guy. And Nick Dowd, you know, it was a rough night opener, but he held his own and scores the big goal. It makes it 4-0. Then Kuzi scores another power play goal. Carlson scores another power play goal.
Ovechkin across, Carlson scores!
Lars Eller comes up to the goal.
Here is Eller, he scores and makes it 7-0.
And I thought the work by Stevenson along the boards to chip that puck forward to Lars Eller, that's the carryover of the, like you said earlier today, the championship pedigree. Stevenson learned how to do little things, and that was a little thing that led to a goal for Lars Eller.
You know what? Lars Eller, since he's gotten here, his game has just elevated to the next level. And I look at how he's got the offensive side of his game now. He's using speed. And for years, he wasn't allowed to do those things. The coaching staff said he had in St. Louis and Montreal. And here, he's just become, you know, otherworldly. And he competes every single night. My favorite thing about him is his competitive nature. And he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop, you know, when the team's up. He goes all game. He's hungry to score goals. I just look at all the little details of his game. But to see him get one early, because last year he struggled for a little bit. And I remember when he got the first one at Edmonton, there was such a sigh of relief out of him. And for him to get that one early is really going to help his game and help him get – he's got goals, individual goals. They've all got team goals. But it's easier when you're feeling good about yourself right off the bat.
Orpik got an assist on that. And Orpik had a great slap pass to Eller. I think it was the end of the second period that Rask made a – maybe it was Halak that made a sick save off of. Orpik had a nice game.
He
like
did.
Some dazzling offensive moves.
He fed Kuzi for the potential hat trick goal, and it was a cross-ice pass. And he moved the puck for – you know what? He's changed his training. He didn't get to lift the weights that he wanted to this year. He looked more agile to me so far in a preseason. A little trimmer, a little fitter, a little leaner. He's always going to be strong. He'll always be a beast in the way that he plays the game. But I liked his movement of his legs tonight. Talk about another guy. His skating's improved as he's gotten older, and it's because he's changed and he's adapted to the way the league is going and the methods of training. And once again, always a professional, always comes to play. Not a stat geek darling, but this guy comes to play.
So Lars Eller scores the 7th goal, and I guess his celebration skating off, Brad Marchand didn't like the angle that he took and thought he was overly celebratory in front of the Boston bench. How dare he, on opening night, when he scores a goal to make it 7-0, celebrate a little bit too much in Brad Marchand's eyes? So that rat goes out there and picks a fight with Lars Eller, and that is a fighter in Marchand going after a skill guy who has no desire to fight. He had to stand up for himself. I know you didn't like that he fought, but he had to stand up for himself at that point. But the fact that Marchand's going to go to the media afterwards and say, I thought it was a bit much in a 7-0 game. I said this on TV, and I still think this. If you don't like them hanging 7 on you, don't let them hang 7 on you. Don't go pick a fight with a skill guy, a guy who has no interest in fighting you because your feelings were hurt. Come on. That's horse blank.
The thing about this is Tom Wilson gets a 20-game suspension for a hit that was legal for years. And a guy drops his head, cuts through the middle, gets lambasted. So he gets 20 games. The league over-rotated on it in a lot of people's opinions. I thought it would be stiff the way the game has gone. And what was acceptable before is not acceptable nowadays. Marchand is a premeditated attack on Lars Eller, a guy that's actually fought, gotten tons of penalties in the past against a guy. And I still maintain Lars shouldn't have fought him. Don't fight a fighter when you're not a fighter. He should have just took his stick and wrapped him one across the mouth with it, in my opinion. And I think the league has to do something about it, especially now that he admitted to what he did. He basically went out and premeditated the attack. If Tom Wilson would have said something, I was going to go out and get him, he'd have got suspended. So we'll see where the league is on this one. I think something has to be done in this situation.
Well, let's get to the Tom Wilson thing. Sort of the only negative in this whole day was the Tom Wilson 20-game suspension. I think stunned all of us because we all thought 8 games, 10 games, maybe even 12 games to send a message to a guy who's had a bunch of suspensions over the years, plays the game on the edge, and probably dips over the edge a little bit too much. And I get that. They wanted to send a message. 20 games seems exorbitant. You're talking about a quarter of the season gone.
The message was sent to every player in the National Hockey League. Now we're going to see if they hold themselves to their same standard, the league, the Department of Player Safety, because in my opinion, this wasn't just about Tom Wilson. This is about all the players, and there's lawsuits looming and all these things. I expected it to be stiff, and I started the longer I thought about it, I thought, if I think it's 10, they're probably going to do something different, because they usually get these all wrong, and they usually err on the side of doing nothing. And I thought 20 games, but it'll be the wrong suspension if the next time one of these things happen, if they don't hold the same player account. I don't care about past offenses. I think you should be held to, like, you.
It's a tough call, though. Cause
no,
he,
you know what?
The fact that he's been in that's.
I don't care. No, I don't care about that. I think anyone that throws, if that's the hit, that's the standard. Screw all the past behavior or whatever it is. So I equate it to, okay, you stab someone the first time, oh, it's okay. You stab someone a second time, maybe it's a habit. You know what? Just make it across the board. You do it, you commit the crime, you do the time. We're going to see if the next time a big physical player or lesser throws a hit or worse. We know they'll be worse, far worse. We'll see what they do about those, because they've been highly hypocritical in all their suspensions since they created this Department of Player Safety group.
So here's the thing now that's potentially scary, though, for Tom Wilson, who has said, I have to keep playing the game physical style. That's who I am. That's what's made my place in this game right now. Now, he's a top-line guy, and he's a highly compensated top-line guy who's also a great penalty killer, so he has to be more than just a goon and a physical player. But with a 20-game suspension now, and he's not going to be back until, I think, November 21st, somewhere around there, deep into November, now he has to be really careful. Because we said before, if he got 8 games, well, the next one could be 20 games. Now you're looking at, 28 games for the season. This is a 20-game suspension. If he gets into the crosshairs again, you're looking at a half a year gone to suspension. So
he's
a guy who likes to talk to people and figure out how to play the game the right way, he's going to have to continue to do that research.
He's going to throw more hits, and there's going to be more guys go down when he throws the big hit. I don't want him to change his game at all. And that thing happened so fast, but I want him to be physical. I want him to be terrifying. I want him to play fast. I want everyone
without getting suspended. I want all the same things.
But you know what? When you play that way, that goes with the territory. He got that contract for scaring the living daylights out of every player in the league with how dominating he is with speed and physicality. And it'll happen again. I'm not sure to the severity of it, but he's going to have – there's certain situations where he's just going to have to turn the other cheek and let guys go. But the way the game is played now, there's collisions, and when you're playing as fast as he does, there's going to be high-impact – he's 225, 230 pounds of rock-solid muscle moving at the speed that he does. He's like James Harrison taking people out there. That's what happens when big physical players play the game fast. No matter what happens, he's going to hit guys and hit them hard, and you never know what's going to happen from it.
20 games was egregious, though. That was a huge suspension. But the great thing, it's like the playoffs last year. All right, like you said, suspension, injury, it's an opportunity for someone else. Yep. And what they do, they answered the bell, and everyone came out and did.
Hey,
what
was it's
how
no
many,
different.
14 skaters tonight had a point?
Yep, no different than if he were injured tonight, and missed 20 games with an injury. People got to step up. And if you get the jersey on, it doesn't matter if you're a rookie or a guy trying to reclaim a spot like a Dowd who's a little bit older, or a guy 32 years old. You got to step up and you got to play well, bottom line.
So now Thursday becomes a game day. It's a normal game day. There's no more raising the banner. There's no more 18 hours of coverage. It's a normal game day routine, except they're in Pittsburgh for the Penguins' home opener because the NHL had to give it to the Caps one more time. But coming off of this, riding the emotional high that they're on, I would not be surprised if they go in there and hang one on Pittsburgh.
It's a 28-minute flight. They're fine. They love playing the Penguins. They learned how to play against them last year in the playoffs. Late in the season, they figured it out. And it's another big game. It's a great challenge to have right off the bat. Granted, you wish it wasn't a back-to-back, but it is. Big deal. Every team in the league's got to do the back-to-back thing.
And they've got 5 days off right after that.
Yeah. You know what? Go do it. They're going to play a different style of hockey tomorrow than they did tonight. And everyone's going to be on the same page. Hopefully everyone's healthy that was in the lineup tonight gets to play tomorrow. But you never know. But you know what? You got to play. get the red, well, get the white jersey tomorrow, you still got to play your A game.
So that's Thursday night, our normal game day coverage leading up to that. So in a game in which Backstrom had three apples, Kuzi had two goals, Oshie, Ovi, and Carlson each had multi-point games, your first star of this game was?
Oh, God. I'm going to go Kuzi, Evgeny Kuznetsov. He was thrilling all game long. And then I say that, and I got to go Nick Backstrom.
So Backstrom,
it's 1A and 1B, but I don't know who's the A and who's the B. So they're the first stars, those two guys.
A bunch of names you could pick out of a hat, and any one of them.
I'm going to go with those two guys, and I love John Carlson tonight. There's so many players that stepped it up, but there are certain players you notice all the time. It was Kuzi and Backe and Carlson, and then I loved Lars Eller all game long. So I look top to bottom, just a great performance. And, oh, by the way, the goalie got a shutout.
Yeah, oh, by the way, and an assist. Also an assist for Braden Holtby. The first season opener as a shutout since 1998 when they beat Anaheim 1-0. Most goals the Caps have ever scored in a season opener. What a night. It was perfect. I could still hear the music playing in my head of them raising that banner. There's something about that music that will always mean something special to this Caps fan base because it was the sound of a championship. What a great night. I hope everyone remembers it like we do. I hope everyone got the chills and the goosebumps like we did. I hope everyone shed a little bit of a tear like so many people did tonight. Hope you enjoyed it, and we're back at it on Thursday against the Penguins. For Alan, I'm Rob. We'll speak to you again after game 2. What a night.
Kuznetsov scores!